headset on. I got three of them here, and eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I grabbed the wrong one. So we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for joining us here on this Wednesday afternoon. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Just a reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. until approximately 4:30 p.m. On Tuesdays, we have it's Talbot Tuesday, where we have a holy hour from 3 to 4 with prayers and benediction beginning at 4 o'clock. And then on Thursdays, there's a rosary that begins at 4 o'clock, and then the shrine will close after that rosary. Also coming up this Friday morning, it'll be First Friday, and that means we'll have Mass and breakfast out at the Malvern Retreat House, the Family Life Center. Mass is at what time, Father?
7:30
a.m. Mass, followed by breakfast. They've gotten large groups there recently, so the face sharing will take place at the tables over breakfast, assuming it's another large group. But all are more than welcome to come and participate. It's been growing monthly as Father and our good friend Patrick here recruit more and more people to come out and join them for that First Friday devotion. Any other anything else, Father, on First Friday before we go to prayer?
I think we're okay, Ken.
All right, pal. All right, let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for the canonization of Venerable Matt Talbot. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence for the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximin Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Blessed Carlo Acutis.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain with us always.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're calling from a distance and need to call toll-free, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. I want your calls as we go to the bottom of the hour. We'll take our break, and when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with our listeners, we'll remind you again before we go to the break and give out those numbers again. But we'd love for you to call in and give a witness as to exactly what God has done for you recently. We are currently in the 34th and last week in Ordinary Time. We'll kick off the Advent season this coming Sunday in the new liturgical year. As a result, there's only one saint in the calendar this week. Tomorrow, the 30th, we will celebrate the feast of St. Andrew the Apostle. And then, as we mentioned, Friday will be First Friday and Saturday, First Saturday, for those that partake in the First Friday or First Saturday devotions. You'll have the ability to do that this coming weekend. So we will start with St. Andrew, and then we'll have a little conversation about Advent and preparing for Christmas. Andrew, not sure when he was born. I think he may have died around the year 60. And he was St. Peter's brother. And together they were called. And in Matthew's gospel, it says, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is now called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. And that's from Matthew chapter 8. And then there's also a mention of the call in the first chapter of John, where John said, behold, the Lamb of God, and Andrew and another disciple followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. Again, that's from the first chapter of John. And really, there's not a whole lot else said about Andrew in the Gospels. There's a little mention before the multiplication of the loaves. And when the Gentiles went to see Jesus, they came to Philip, and then Philip sent them on to Andrew. I find it interesting, Father, with the chosen, you get a lot more play with Andrew, and not sure exactly what their source was, if any, or and whether or not they, use imagination to fill it in. But just going back to that call, and we're all called, I think, like Andrew and Peter and the rest of the apostles, we're all called to be those disciples, to be those apostles. And some of us answer early, some of us answer later. And, regardless of when we do answer, we're there to become witnesses. And we talked a little bit about that this morning in regards to today's gospel. And, our ability to witness to other people. But I often, years ago, my good buddy Paul's probably listening. We used to be in a surf fishing club together. And we'd be down on the Jersey beaches a lot in the fall, fishing in tournaments. And I would always pray when we first got on the beach. And the prayer usually included a line. It went something like, Jesus, allow me to catch some fish today, and then I'll become a fisher of men. And it never seemed to work. I caught a few fish here and there, but not like some of the other guys. But, it's been pretty interesting over the last 30 years or so to see the places that God puts us and allows us to play a small role in helping to catch some fish. And I know from hanging around with you that there's nothing greater in your life sometimes than when you get that big fish. And it's always interesting to me because you seem to know when it's coming. And then when that miracle happens and you have the ability to, whether it's to hear a confession from somebody that hasn't been in the confessional in a long time, or people to come back with questions or come back to the faith, it's pretty cool to be in a spot where God allows us to play sometimes a significant role, and other times maybe even a small role in helping bring people closer to Christ.
Yeah. You reminded me, like Malvern, it's a fishing hole. I mean, it's deep sea fishing, especially with the Matt Talbot retreat groups that come in and other groups that, they always have their AA meetings at the end. But hearing their confessions, and Ken, the last Matt Talbot retreat that I had, it was like sitting down, and three sinners came in, and each sinner there was, bless me, Father, I've sinned. They won't even know how to begin. I said, how long since your last confession? 40 years. The second one, 40 years. Third one, 40 years. And then another one, 25. Another one, 20. One sitting. And you talk about deep sea fishing, catching those big fish. They were there. And really heartfelt. Something would happen to them on the retreat. They would hear a word from God, the gospel. Something would happen. And the Lord will touch them and draw them to himself in that confessional, the miracle box. And there, you know, guys, tough guys, tattoos, some ex-cons, you know, just melting down in tears. And you're right, Ken. I mean, that's so beautiful as a priest to know, witness that, because it's not you doing that. You know, the priest is in persona Christi. It's a seat of mercy. But what a highlight of a priesthood. And even here in Grace Ferry, I used to always like sitting on the steps of the church and just watch the guys come by back and forth. And I would throw out my mystical fishing rod, you know, and reel them in just to give them a medal, lay my hands on them, say a prayer for them. Not that they'd be ready for the confession at that point, but when you go on retreat, there's something special that happens there. It's just really also thinking about Andrew, the, you know, where he's the disciple of John, and he's called the Protoclete, you know, disciple, the first one called. And when John says, "Behold the Lamb of God," that right away they follow him. And there's something that's attracting John and the other disciple, which is more than likely John himself. He's not naming himself there. So he's following him, and he's waiting for him to turn around, you know. And then when he turns around, you know, where do you stay? And then come and see. Something happens at that point. It's like his eye gaze in their eye gaze. And he, it's a divine touch there. It's a moment, what you would call it, a divine wink, a grace occasion, a turning point in life. But something really beautiful happened. So much in that reading that you meant, it was, they even mentioned the time. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know the day. You know the hour. You know the place. It's indelible when the Lord touches you so beautifully there, you know. But, yeah, there's a, that other saying was, I think about, where Andrew was mentioned with the loaves and the fishes. And it's like an impossible situation here, Ken. You got all these people, there's only, you know, Jesus to feed them. And Andrew said, "Well, we don't have anything. There's a little boy here, you know, with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with so many? Bring them to me. Bring them to me." So they bring the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus, and something big happens, the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. And it's like we bring our littleness to Jesus. We bring it to the altar. You know, where sometimes we feel so despairing or discouraged and anxious in this crazy world of ours. And there's the Lord saying, "Just bring it to me. Bring it. Come to me. Come to me. Where do you stay, Jesus? Well, come and see. We know where he stays. He's right in all the tabernacles in the world. Come and see." Then that seeing is, "Come and experience me. Let me touch you like I touched Andrew and John and all the apostles. Let me touch you with the divine grace that's going to transform you and make you like myself, so that you can be fisher of men and go out into the world and be my witnesses, you know, fishers of men." You know, it's just so powerful, Ken, when you think about, you know, the call of the Lord. And he calls all of us, you know, to be his disciples, to be his witnesses, to go and bear fruit. But we must first come to him in our littleness and receive those fruits. It just comes to mind now about the when I was Bible pointing. I think I shared this before, the Bible pointing, where you open up the Bible and you point your finger there. And I've always been attracted to Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome." And he's saying, "Come to me," you know, not on the telephone, not on just, "Come to me where I stay." You know, at the Mass, in the Eucharist, in the sacraments. Come and meet me. Come and meet me there. So I'm playing with the Bible verse, and what happens, my finger falls on Sirach 24:18. And it says, "Come to me, all you who yearn for me, and be filled with my fruits." There it is. We want to be filled with his fruits. I have to receive his fruits. I have to come to him. I have to take that beautiful invitation. And he too will look at me like he looked at Andrew and the other apostle, more likely John, and that gaze of Jesus Christ, that touch of his love. So, in the reading tomorrow, it sounds like they left everything, they took off, like that was the first meeting. No, he's been touching them along the way. And they were touched so deeply, Andrew, he went and told Peter. And there was Peter, and there it goes, you know. And Peter, and there's Philip, and he goes right down the line. But, you know, Andrew was touched. And then he's touched so much, he touches Peter. "We're touched. Come to me and see where I'm at." Now we're touched. Now we go and say the word. And they're touched, and they go out into the world. that ripple effect that Chuck was talking about. You know, that stone in the, it goes out to all the world. But we just need to come to him and bring our little to him and receive his bigness, receive those fruits of his, that life of his, that eternal life of his, and be like him and know that he's with us always until the end of the world, Ken.
Nah, amen. And that, you know, that, as we mentioned, that come and see a few times, you know, sometimes we may feel pressure like we have to have the answers. And, you know, when people have questions and those types of things, and sometimes the answer can be our own come and see, whether it's Calyx or a 12-step meeting or, you know, whatever it is, rather than try to explain everything that that these things are, whether it's, you know, something in our Catholic faith, the Mass or Calyx meetings, somebody that needs help perhaps with an addiction, you know, rather than trying to explain everything, you can just say come and see. And bring them along and allow them to see, much like, you know, Jesus did with Peter and Andrew, you know. And, you know, Andrew and Peter, they were waiting. You know, when Father Celso was on a couple of weeks ago, he talked about the Essenes and John the Baptist and how there was, you know, it wasn't like all the Jews were still waiting for the Messiah. You know, it was the Essenes were a group that was really desperate for and praying for the Messiah to come, and so they were the ones that recognized Christ, and John the Baptist brought them along and helped prepare the way. And as it said in Matthew, or in John's gospel rather, that John the Baptist, or Andrew, was a follower of John the Baptist, and so it was the logical succession was for John to turn his followers over to Jesus. That's what he was preparing them for. And, and now there's the similar group that he has seen and those that are waiting for the second coming. Need to be prepared. We mentioned earlier that we're getting ready to celebrate Advent beginning this coming Sunday, and a lot of the readings in the last couple of weeks have dealt with the end times, and not that anybody knows exactly when they're coming. Some days it feels like it's closer than others, but that we be prepared and continue to keep watch. And Advent is a great time to start doing that and to be reminded of that coming. So before we get into Advent in full scale here, we do have a caller on the line, and we're going to go to Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Hello. Are you calling from Fruitland?
I am calling from Florida, yes.
How about that? Nice, sunny and warm, I'm sure.
I had to come outside because they tell me the metal roof of the mobile home interferes with the cell phone.
So how are you?
Standing out in the sunshine. I'm good. I heard you talking about, you know, the way that people came to Jesus, and then up at Malvern, the way that people came back to Jesus. And you know how the Gospels vary? If they tell the same story, it's a little bit different in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I thought there was one once where Andrew had met Jesus. He went home and got Peter and brought him to Jesus. But anyway, I was brought by Father Doug's brother, Harry, to Grace Ferry for the first time. And I don't think I had been away from confession that long. I think it had only been 11 years.
You know? Yeah, just 11.
Just 11, yeah. Not 40. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now when I went to Malvern for the first time and went to confession, I was probably 32.
Whoa.
And I probably hadn't been to confession since high school, if not grade school, so at least 15 to 18 years. So
yeah. And you know me, I'm a wise guy, so I would have liked to have said how long in weeks, you know.
Yeah, yeah, or days.
If I have sinned, it's been 552 weeks.
Yeah, there you go. So you made it back to Florida safely, I assume.
Yes, I did. Yes,
very
I did.
Good.
Yep. Yep.
All
yep.
right.
And now I don't have a TV. I didn't want a TV, so I didn't get Wi-Fi. Then I found out I have to get Wi-Fi in order to hear you guys and also even just to make a phone call. It's like, it's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But now I have the world. Wi-Fi and I can hear, I can hear you every week.
Very good. I appreciate it, pal. It's good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you guys. So.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Bob?
Yeah,
yes, I can.
Yeah, you know, I remember that, you know, when you came to confession. And it was 11 years, and something happened
years,
to you. Or I said someone happened to you. But you remember you wrote me a letter?
Yes, I do, yeah. Yep.
Can I read it?
Yep. And that was an odd but God situation, because had you been home that day, we just would have talked. And then the talk would be in the air. But because you weren't home that day, I had to write you the letter, which you can still possess and hold on to, you know?
Yeah, and I do.
And he has
now,
it.
You gave me permission to read it, and sometimes I'll do that at retreats when I have a penance service. So can I read it now? It's not mentioning your sins, so you don't have to worry about that, because I don't remember what your sins were.
No, the last time those were mentioned, somebody went for the cops. No.
Well, here it is. You wrote,
okay.
Hey, Father Doug, just a quick note of joyful thanksgiving. The last 30 days of my life have been the happiest of the last 40 years. My only fear is that I'm going to be arrested for being too happy. For the last 11 years, I've tried many times for a new beginning, a fresh start with a firm purpose of amendment. It just wouldn't stick. The sacrament of reconciliation is very powerful. If cancer was sin, confession would be the cure. Imagine if I had been dying for the last 11 years and the cure was available all the time and I was just too dumb or busy or lazy to take it. Now imagine that I have found the cure for cancer. You know that I just have to tell everyone. But it was powerful. I always remember that letter, Bob. And it's like you were touched, you know. You were touched in that sacrament. But he was the one who touched you, just like he touched Andrew and John.
Yeah.
It was that moment of truth, that turning point, that moment of grace. Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, there is something magical about Grace Ferry. There really is, you know. So, yep. And that letter, that guy sounded smart. You sure that's me?
All right, pal.
Always let you go.
All right. Always
thanks
good to hear from you.
Call.
All right.
Yeah. Always good to hear from you guys.
All right. Be good.
Be
Bob, one little comment. You said
sure.
you're in the Sunshine State.
Yes, I am.
Did you mean S-U-N or the S-O-N, Shine State?
Both.
Grace.
Both.
Oh, okay. Yep. I was just wondering.
Yep. So, right. 72 degrees of S-U-N and 100% of S-O-N.
There you go.
And now, please say hello to my friend Patrick for me.
Hey, he's just on hello, the other Patrick. Side of the glass waving.
I know. Yeah. Hello, Patrick.
So, all right, Bob. We'll
he's
talk again.
He sends me the reminders every week. Patrick's
powerful. You and about 100 others, I think.
Grace,
God bless them. Yeah. All right, brother.
All right.
Be good.
Go.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
God bless. Happy Advent.
All right. Got about 5 minutes before we go to the break. I'll give out the phone numbers again. We want to have our Otter God segment when we come back. But we're going to need your calls in order to do it. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. We're toll free, 888-343-2484. Closing comment on Andrew, Father?
Yeah, you know, I just, it's that come and see, Ken, that's really permeating and dilating my heart. Come and see, you know, where he's at. Come to me. Oh, and we yearn for him, and we'll be filled with his fruits. And that coming is coming to him in his sacraments. That's where he's at. He's in that Eucharistic presence. That's where he's calling us to. Eat my body, drink my blood. You know, do this. It's a commandment. It's a last will and testimony. And we receive him, and we become like him. But, yeah, you know, a lot of times you were saying about, you know, people, you know, would say, you know, to me to come up to me and say, Father, you need any, can I do anything for you down in Grace Ferry there with the mission? And it's something that Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, when people would ask her about, what can I do to help you? She would always say, come and see, come and see. And I would always say, come and see. You can come and make a holy hour in our church, in our shrine for Matt Talbot. Come and see where the Blessed Sacrament is. Come and see our beautiful church where our Lord abides. But, yeah, it's just that come and see. You know, come and experience me. Experience me. Come and know me, that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Amen. Yeah, amen. And sometimes it is just as simple as that, and showing up. They got a line in the recovery rooms, you know, bring the body and the mind will follow. And I think the same thing applies here, that even if you're not certain about what to do or how to do it or even when to do it, you know, you just show up. And the Holy Spirit, our Lord, will bring you along in just the way that you need to be brought along. But if we don't show up, we haven't got a fighting chance.
You reminded me of the most important step.
The doorstep.
Of the church.
Yeah, the doorstep of the 12-step meeting, the doorstep of the church, mm-hmm. The doorstep of our homes, in one way or another, you know, sacred or special places that we need to reverence and take part in. So rather than get started on Advent, how about if we go to the break just a minute or two early? Again, those phone numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. Have that holy boldness. Give us a call.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And before we go on with the show, just a reminder to check out our website here at inhissign.com. If you happen to miss a show on any of the days, I try to get the podcasts up, the recordings up, usually by Thursday each week for the prior weeks or so. We weren't here last Wednesday because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So later tonight or tomorrow, I will get all the recordings up, and you can go back and either re-listen or listen to shows that you may have missed. Also, the website for Father McKay's ministry is ourhouseministries.org. If you're interested in sponsoring one of our shows on a Wednesday, I'd encourage you to go to ourhouseministries.org and click on the donate page, and there's instructions there on how to go ahead and sponsor one of our shows, and that money will make its way to In His Sign Catholic Radio, for which we are forever grateful. I think we're coming up March of next year. It'll be 8 years that Father and I have been doing these shows on Wednesdays together. It's hard to believe it's been that long. But, thank you for all your support, and always great to bump into people and have them mention that they listen every week.
And you remember when we first decided to do this, we met with Kathleen.
Yeah.
And it was in Chinese restaurant. We're eating Chinese food and all, you know.
Yep.
And I said, I don't know, I'm ready to do this, but here we are 8 years.
Wow. Yeah, time flies when you're doing God's work.
Seems like 1 year ago. It just doesn't seem that long at all.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool when you think about it. All the hours that we spent together and doing this, and like I said, it's all worthwhile when you bump into people and they happen to mention that they listen or that they got something out of a particular show or what have you. And I know that I've grown a lot in my own faith as a result of having to prepare and learn about the saints or the different feast days and the things that go on in the liturgical calendar, and especially in the 5 o'clock hour. Probably over the last 8 years, it's probably close to or over 300 interviews that I've done, and the people that I've got to speak to and gotten to meet, and the impact that's had on my spiritual life has just been incredible. So I'll be forever grateful to the Lord first and foremost to put me in the situation, and for Kathleen for the confidence she had, way back when she decided to let me go on my own. And then, like you said, when we expanded to the 2-hour format, that, obviously Kathleen couldn't do 2 hours every day. So that's when she asked if we'd be willing to step up and help her out on the Wednesdays. And here we are almost 8 years later, and wouldn't be anywhere else on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, you're right about, 8 years we've been, talking about the saints or our brothers and sisters. I don't know, Ken, where I would be in my spiritual life without them, especially with everything that's going on in the world. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody's fighting. Everybody's in division. Everybody has these degrees, doctors, all that, and they're all disagreeing, so it tells me they don't know so much. But the saints, they don't contradict one another. They're the exegetes, the explainers of the Word of God. And there it is. I listen to them, the magisterium of the Church, the Scriptures, the Word of God. Focus on that. The truths are there. They're not going to change. And everybody out there, somehow, my opinion is there's relativism and things are changing. Well, the Lord's the same today, tomorrow, and He was the same yesterday, and He'll always be the same, and the truth will never change. And that truth is Jesus Christ. I was saying when I came in, when I was riding to down the lakes the other day to pick up a few things, I turned on a radio program. We'll mention the name, Ken. I turned on a radio program, and it said that the joy is in the truth. And I thought for a moment, the joy is in the truth. But how do we get to the truth? What's the way to the truth? Well, He's the way to the truth. But the way to the truth is life in Christ, and who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to focus on Him, listening to Him, listen to the teachings of the Church throughout these years, and stay focused on the truths. And, we will be united. We'll be together as one in Christ, because He's the head. He'll take care of everything. But, the relativism is really causing Satan, it's just so much division today, so many different opinions. It's not my opinion. But, what's the truth? And the truth will set us free, and the truth is Jesus Christ, who's always with us until the end of the world.
Amen.
But when you mentioned the saints, I said,
yeah.
I just love the saints. They're focused on the truth. They don't contradict one another like scripture scholars, unless you're a Thomas Aquinas or Augustine. They don't contradict one another, the saints. They're married to the Word of God.
Yeah.
And they give us so much inspiration. They give us the truth. They inspire us, like Matt Talbot. If I can do it, you can do it by the grace of God.
Amen. Amen.
Anyway.
Yeah, and speaking of Matt Talbot face. And the Calyx Society, just a quick rundown. Father and I get together with a bunch of people every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson. And we get started at 6 o'clock with adoration and then Mass, and then a Calyx meeting follows, usually gets started a little bit after 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of each month, we have our Matt Talbot Holy Hour and Mass, and that takes place in St. Gabriel's Church right across the street from our chapel. And in December, that will be on December the 19th. Will be the third Tuesday. We have a holy hour from 6 to 7 p.m. During which we have confessions. And then we have Matt Talbot Novena prayers and then Mass at 7 o'clock. And it's the purpose of the evening is for anybody that's has any involvement whatsoever with addiction, whether you're in recovery, in need of recovery, or you have loved ones that either struggle with addiction or are in recovery. It's an opportunity for us to come together as a church and pray for one another. We also have the Calyx unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. They meet on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next gathering will be on Thursday, December the 7th. The unit at Glenside, my home parish of St. Luke's, meets on the third Saturday of the month. We go to the 8:30 Mass on Saturday morning. Followed by the Calyx meeting, and that meeting this in December will be on December the 16th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They just met this past Saturday, and we'll get together on Saturday, December the 30th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday for 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. I heard from Tom Dillon today, Father, that Father Bill Hazard down there had a knee replacement surgery, so he may be out for a little bit, but I think they have a substitute, at least for tonight, for Mass, so we wish Father Hazard well and a speedy recovery from that surgery.
Yeah. He must be in his 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. And then my guests in the 5 o'clock hour will be Peter DePalma and Sister Francesca will be calling in from Italy. It's the last Wednesday of the month, so it'll be Divine Will Wednesday. We'll be talking about Louisa Picaretta and the gift of the Divine Will. So we did get a caller, so we're going to go ahead to the phone lines and go to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
All right, brother. How are you this week?
Hey, Father Doug. I heard Flo Bob's letter. That's Florida Bob. I call him Flo Bob.
Flo Bob.
That was a great letter you read about our Doug.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. And Ken, you said about, excuse me, I forget what you said, bring the body, the mind will follow. Saying?
Yep.
Is that what you were talking about earlier?
Yeah. Well, that's what, sometimes we don't always know, what to do, how to do it, where to do it, and what have you. But if you, especially when it comes to the, when we're in recovery and not, especially early on and not knowing a whole lot or not understanding everything, a lot of times the old timers would use that line, bring the body and the mind will follow.
Yeah, I already say that. I didn't know we were talking about just AA in general, just things in life.
I think you can apply it to life in general. That sometimes all we have to do is show up and see what happens.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure.
Because,
I mean, I'm doing that. This week's a little better than usual because my mind is better. My body's still getting worse. My spirit is better this week. So that's a victory. But, Father Doug, I have a question. You ready?
Yeah. I have the answer.
I may not be the answer I want to hear, but it'll be an answer. Is it okay to ask God for miracles or just a healing, or is God helps people without them asking?
Oh, yeah, it's okay to ask God for miracles. What he was against was people demanding things, but ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. And when we ask for something, Frank, we might not get what we're asking for, but we'll get something better. We will receive something from him. But he's not going to give us, what, a scorpion when we need bread or a fish. So he's going to give us what's best for us. But by all means, he wants us to be asking. So keep asking, you know. And that's the Greek word, you know, when he said, asking you shall receive. Keep asking, because God won't change, we'll change, you know. And it humbles us, and we know we're how dependent we are on God. So, by all means, it's okay to ask God for whatever. Yep.
Father Doug and Ken.
I asked him if I could hit the Powerball.
Well, I asked for both the Powerball and the Mega Millions. That's all, whatever.
He answers them all. Yes, if it's good for us. No, if it's not good for us. Or it's wait a while. And the fourth answer is, are you kidding me?
I never heard that one. I heard a yes,
he
no, or
all
slow.
Yeah, there you go.
But Father Doug and Ken, when I was boozing, I'm glad I'm sober. It's been 3 years, 8 months. I feel better in my mind, but all my medical problems, I was better off when I was drinking. Not because I was obliviated every day of the week. I actually was better. My body was better, and I can't figure that one out, but it blows my mind all the time. I actually was better medically when I was boozing. I mean, my eyes, my legs, my stomach was better. And I got sober. My mind's great, but the rest of me fell apart. And I hate it. It stinks.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because you stopped drinking or just finally that's when it caught up with you. You know,
yeah,
I think if you continue down the same path, you may have had all that plus sclerosis of the liver or some other, some other physical ailments. So, you know, I wouldn't use it as an excuse to go back to drinking.
I'm not even thinking that.
Yeah,
kid.
No, I know.
I mean,
I know.
I'm honest. I know it was decades of heavy drinking. Yeah. It just by coincidence happened to stop, and then later on I got sick.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, and
no,
that's
not,
it. And
I don't desire drinking. I don't want to drink. You know, that's it. I don't want to. I feel good. I feel good in my mind. My body's not good.
Yeah.
My mind's great. I get depressed sometimes. I wish Wednesday was Monday to Friday with you guys because I love every Wednesday. I like Father Blatter a lot, and thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it, and I look forward to hearing you next week.
All right, pal.
How's it going?
Yep, you too. Thanks for the
God
call,
bless you, Frank.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's the aging process, Ken.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know I had a body till I turned 50.
Yeah, no, and it's and sometimes it's hard because, you know, we think that we're doing all the right things, and there's no guarantees in life, right? And, you know, there was a guy that used to come around and he would say, do good, get good, or do bad, get bad, do good, and you got a pretty good chance of getting good. But I've seen plenty of people that have come around and struggled in sobriety, or even they've had long-term sobriety, and some of them have led really, really difficult lives. I think of my sponsor who's buried two wives now, both died from cancer, and, you know, one of them, it was almost a 20-year battle with brain cancer. And, you know, just because we're doing the right things doesn't mean that life's going to be a cakewalk. And but the flip side of that, and what these guys and gals that we've watched and witnessed that go through it, is that they show us that God has given them the grace to handle whatever it is that they're going through. I mean, we had a great witness last night at our Calyx meeting of somebody that was really going through it a month ago and came through to the other side. You know, Frank that just called, you know, the last couple times he's called, you know, wasn't so great. And today he sounded upbeat, and, you know, maybe he got a break today with the body pain and what have you. But, you know, one thing is for certain, if we don't get on the path and try to stay on the path, that bad things are going to happen. And we hear that all the time, people that we've gotten to know that, you know, may have experienced a little bit of sobriety or even long-term sobriety, and then for whatever reason decide to go out and experiment again. And fortunately, a bunch of them make it back, and they let us know and remind us that it doesn't get any better or any different out there if we go into those ways. And it doesn't have to be just alcohol and drugs. It's, you know, Stop making mass for a couple of weeks, or stop your prayer routine for a couple of weeks. And, you know, I can testify to what happens then in my own life. But when we put out our best effort and stay close to God, and especially to the sacraments and a prayer life, no matter what the world throws at you, you're going to have a different perspective and a different attitude towards it when you have God in your corner. When we're left to our own devices, man, that's when I get myself into trouble. And I've heard enough stories from other people that's when trouble mounts for them as well.
Yeah, and you've heard me say this again and again, Ken. Thank God for the crosses in our lives. You know, the saints, they suffered so much all their lives. I mean, they had really heavy crosses with their help. And it's what made them saints. Because, you know, it's like what Teresa Avila says, you know, our trials are gold mines to be exploited. And where we trip up and fall, dig there, because we're going to find our treasure there, who's going to be Jesus, who's going to pick us up again and again and again. And so sometimes, you know, we're so laid back. I mean, how many people are really doing penances today, denying themselves, you know, fasting? It was something that St. Andrew said I meant to say. He was saying it came from not the Gospels, but was a moratorium fragment, you know, an early writing of the Christians. He said this, fast with me from today for 3 days, and let us tell one another what revelation may be made to us, either for or against. You know, it's like, this fasting and prayer, if we're not doing it, that's an act of purification. I'm doing it, and I'm being purified from worldliness and pride and all those other paggles, lust and greed and envy and all that. But if I'm not doing it, God's going to do it for me. So I'm going to get sickly, you know. And the saints, they were sickly, not that they were, you know, doing bad or sinning, but that God wanted to raise them up and give them that mysticism. So it's in that suffering and pain. They were united to Jesus Christ on the cross. And then there was no more cross. And then they're transcended with him in a new life. And that's why, you know, they were in ecstasy, going to death. You know, they were tortured in prisons. You know, they saw the scaffold and your prison as a palace, as going to God. You know. But we run away from the cross. And Teresa, who was it, Elizabeth Ann Seton, if we knew the treasures of our crosses, we would run for them. And not away from them, because there's a blessing there, and the Lord won't permit anything unless he's going to bring a greater good. But we're so soft-minded, you know, we want pleasures, we want everything my way, and God wants to give us a better world. He wants to infuse the kingdom of God in us, to experience that glory, that peace and joy that the world can't give us, you know. So, you know, aches and pains, you know, people, everyone has something that they deal with, you know, whether it's allergies and, you know, cancer and, you know, growing older. And I know so many people, they would quit drugging and drinking, but the damage was done, and then the livers would start up and all that. But somehow, some way, God is working that out. And it's when you turn to God. You know, when you have these tragedies in life, bad health, cancer, whatever, you know, it's either going to bring you closer to God or farther away from him. But you won't stay in the same place. But they're meant to bring us closer to God. I give up. I surrender. And God carries us all the way home, Ken.
No, amen. Couldn't,
in all things, give thanks.
Couldn't agree more, Father. And, you know, suffering's just, unfortunately, it's human. Part of the human condition. And as you were talking about, you know, the lack of fasting and penances and those types of things, I'd listened to a couple of priests that are more out there, if you will, like Father Chad Ripperger, an exorcist, and Father Rossetti, who was also an exorcist. And they, you know, they talk about the state of the church and the impact it has on them being able to do their work. And, you know, the demons that they used to be able to drive out in a couple of weeks are now taking a couple of months, and it's because of the state of the church, not because of their lack of trying or inability, that a lot of this stuff is, you know, dependent on the state of the church. And Father Ripperger, in a couple of his latest talks, has been talking about, you know, leadership, and that we're getting the leaders that we deserve. You know, when we don't, you know, do the things that we're supposed to do, the prayer, the fasting, the almsgiving, you know, simply going to church, when we don't do these things, God has a way of, you know, taking away the good leaders. He did it in the Old Testament, and you know, it's not that he's evil. It's just he's doing it for our own benefit, that we'll you know, turn around and come back to him and do those things that we're expected to do. And it's incremental, you know, one person at a time. And I think, you know, we witnessed that last night at our Calyx meeting, that the sharing that's been going on for the last month or so has been really, really powerful. And more new people showing up. We're going to have to find a bigger building soon, I hope. But, you know, whether it's because of the state of the country, the state of individuals' families, you know, whatever it is that's forcing them to turn to God, it's making a difference. And I think we'll continue to see this incremental change as, you know, things continue to, you know, to get worse. And so, you know, we know who wins. We read the book, you know, and all like that. But it doesn't mean that we've already seen the worst of it. And my fear is that the worst is yet to come. But for those of us that have the faith, those of us that are on the path, we should have nothing to fear. And so, you know, if anything, like you said, get closer to God.
Yep. You know, I'm glad you mentioned the prayer, fasting, almsgiving, because I was just about mentioning it, and then you brought it up. It's that spiritual tripod, you know, like three legs, right? You take one leg off, it falls down. I mean, we're praying, and a lot of us are giving alms. But are we fasting, doing penance? We all want peace, and peace is a salary, Ken. It's a salary that, you know, when you're doing what he's asking us to do, my heart's filled with peace. Because I'm in communion with him. And I know when I'm in communion with him, because I'm at peace. And when I'm not peaceful. So this prayer, fasting, and the almsgiving, this spiritual tripod, and here's the promise of the Lord. And this is what we read on Ash Wednesday, you know. When you pray, do it secretly. When you fast, do it secretly. When you do almsgiving, do it secretly. And here's the promise from the Lord. And the Father will reward you. And it's going back to what Andrew said, that he said, fast for 3 days. Fast with me for 3 days. And then let us tell one another about the revelations that we receive from him. Because it's going to be a reward in our hearts. There's going to be a revelation. There's going to be a divine touching. And then let's share that with one another. That's what Andrew was saying. So penance, you know, Our Lady of Lourdes, when one of the apparitions, when Bernadette turned around after seeing the Blessed Mother, three times she said, penance, penance, penance. There's two ends in the word. Take one end, do a little penance. I'll take the other end, do a little penance. And the letters that are left is P-E-A-C-E. Peace, peace, because we're doing what God's telling us to do. And so we'll be in communion with him, and there'll be peace in our heart. And that'll be the salary from living the gospel. Peace, peace, peace.
Amen. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines, Father. We got the big ragu. Hello, Butch.
Oh, boy.
Hey, guys. I had to call and say hello.
How are you, brother?
I'm all right. You guys are wonderful. I'm sitting here listening to you. I'm sitting here by myself at the house, hearing a lot of good things out of you.
Yeah, you got the radio on in the background?
I do. It's in the kitchen. Why? Right. Can you? Is it echoing?
No, I can hear it, but that's all right. It's not that loud. Yeah.
Yeah, and I heard you talking about, you know, the body and the mind will follow, Kenny. And boy, that's how it happened for me. You know what I mean? I was totally insane and didn't know what to do. I was lost, a lost soul. And, you know, I had some good men, you know, just keep coming, you know, not AA, church, everything. And Ralphie was so big on going to the St. Rita Shrine and that prayer and everything in. And then eventually going there, you know, you get a peace of mind, you know what I mean? And that's what happened with me. And I heard Father talk, too, and when... You know, I let someone else take my peace, and all. I'm not there. You know what I mean? And when I'm giving it to God and loving God and thanking God, I'm flowing and glowing. I don't know how to explain it. I'm human, so sometimes I go off track and I let other things take my peace. I don't know how to explain it. But I put you guys on today because I ain't been on here, and I need to hear what you guys talk about and preach, and I know what you guys do in South Philly. You know what I mean? And it's a blessing, all you guys. You are all good men. And I know Pat's doing whatever right there with you. And, you know, I know Pat a long time. And what a good, good, amazing man he is today. You know what I mean? And he's dedicated and sincere with it. And he always, like, whenever I talk to him or whatever, I always need to hear. He's got a lot of knowledge. He always was smart growing up. And he's got a lot of knowledge. He tells me things about the Catholic Church, God, the Bible, everything. I'm like, I didn't know that, Pat. He can probably tell me a million things every day. And I'm like, I never knew that. I forgot what he told me last Sunday at Mass. But I'm like, I didn't even know that.
How about that?
So it's good I'm around, you know, guys that are, you know what I mean, positive, doing the right thing, and, you know, well, believing in God and giving to God. You know, I had a gentleman, I won't mention his name, and he goes, what a blessing and how nice it is to go Thursday to the chapel and then to go eat with all the guys that go out and eat. I'm like, yeah, I know. And I don't go to breakfast a lot, but he loves it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It's good to be. It's good to be with like-minded people that, you know, whether we're new to the path or been on it for years, to be able to sit around a table and break bread and share our faith is, you can't put a price tag on it, Butch. It's great.
Yeah.
And you're part of the crew, man. You're right there.
I just gotta remember, man. I am so blessed. I'm sitting here and you know, sometimes that fear creeps in, and God's had me this far. Father Doug always says, he's had you this far. He's got you. You know what I mean? And I got to keep that right in the front and remember that. He don't let me down.
Amen. All right, pal, we're coming up to the top of the hour, so I'm going to have to let you go.
All right,
we appreciate the call.
I love all you guys. Father Doug, I love you. Patrick, Kenny, I love you guys.
You too, brother. Be good.
I'll be right back, Butch. See you tomorrow at Mass.
All right. I got just about a minute and a half left, Father. We didn't talk a whole lot about Advent, but it kicks off this coming Sunday. It's time to get ready for the coming of our Lord at Christmas. And we'll need your blessing.
Yeah, in a sense, we talked about Advent.
Yeah.
Being prepared, getting ready.
Yeah.
You know, like Butchie said, I don't know how to explain it. He did. Come to church, go to the sacraments, talk about God, be with the right people, and revelation happens and peace happens in our hearts. So keep your heart in peace, and thousands will find salvation near you, old monastic saying.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, King of peace, let your peace come into our hearts, Lord, that we may know that gift of your Holy Spirit and your Father and all the truths of our Catholic faith. And bless us all, especially all those who suffer so much, especially the elderly who can't get out, and all those who suffer with addictions, Lord. Set us free by your grace, your mercy, your transforming love. And bless us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Mother Mary, St. Joseph, Venerable Matt Talbot, Maximine Colby, Blessed Acutus, pray for us.
Pray
Amen.
For us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless, Ken. God
All right,
bless
you too,
everyone.
You too, Father. For our listeners, we already have our guests, Peter and Sister Francesca, on the line. So we'll take a short break, and then we'll be back. Don't go away.